Lovely to be back. It's lovely to see you. And thank you, a personal thank you, to everyone that took part while we were away. I've heard such good reports. We did come back briefly, sort of in the middle of the summer, and everyone was saying, oh, it's been brilliant. And then we went away again, and when we came back again, everyone said, yeah, it's been so good. You know, everyone who's joined in. I know, exactly. But do you know what? Yeah, was it? Was it football? The really good thing is, though, that obviously what that shows is that it's God that is building this community, isn't it? It's not one person, it's not a leadership team, it's God. And if it doesn't matter if that leadership team's out of place for a little while, if God's here, then it's working, and that's great. So this morning we're doing one of our regular Vision Sundays. We decided as a leadership team that we would do one of these once a term, just to help us kind of stay together, understand where we're going, any news updates, that kind of thing. So if you're a visitor here this morning, apologies if some of this isn't 100% relevant to you, but hopefully you'll get something from it anyway. So, if the clicker works, I wanted to look at two things this morning. Firstly, where have we been and where are we going? So the last 6 months or so have been quite difficult in our church, I think. You know, over a year or so ago, we moved from the old building in Woolwind Road, which was nice and it was cosy, and we all knew it, and it had a nice sound to it, and when we were all there, it was always full, and it was comfortable, and it had a history, and it had, you know, in the way that buildings do, it carried a little bit of the presence of God there as well. And now we've come to the school and everything's different. The acoustics are different. The setup is more hassle. The AV, although it never worked brilliantly, works even less brilliantly sometimes here. Although there is good news on that, as you're probably aware, that we're very, very shortly going to have a new AV system, which hopefully will work a lot better. But it's been difficult, hasn't it? And when we look around, there are people missing who used to be part of our fellowship and who aren't anymore. And there's all sorts of reasons for that, some of which are not very clear, and some of them are because things have changed. And when that happens, as a leadership team, and I, you know, particularly I take this really personally, you think, what have we done wrong? What's happened that folk don't want to worship with us anymore or have decided to move on somewhere else? It's really hard when that happens. And I suppose I spent a lot of time over the last 6 months praying and asking God, have we done something wrong here? You know, is there a mistake? Is there, you know, have things gone imperfectly and therefore we should repent, or we should change something, or is something just, you know, is it me? Have I done something? Am I Jonah? Should I jump out the ship and because it's all gone wrong? You ask yourself those kind of questions because we want a community where it doesn't matter what goes wrong, there's space for it to be put right again, don't we? That's the gospel. That's what God does. That's a God thing. When stuff goes wrong, there's an opportunity to repair it, for it to be made right again. And so when folk leave, it feels like that opportunity wasn't there, or that something happened. So it's been hard. It's been hard, and we need to recognise that. And it's sad when folk leave. But I've got to tell you that every time I brought this to God over the last 6 months and said, God, what is going on? What mistakes have we made? He's always said, don't worry about it. It's just pruning. It's just me chopping things away. Don't worry about it. And that's really hard, because do you know what? In a funny way, it would actually have been easier if God had said, yes, it's you, you're the problem, get out of the way, and then we can get on with growing a community. Because that would be easy to fix, wouldn't it? Because all I'd have to do then is go, oh, thank you, I don't have to do this anymore. God said I'm a problem, I'll get out of the way and let someone else do it, and we'll have a really thriving, happy church. But it's not that easy, and God didn't say that. You know, one of the motives, or one of the sort of pictures, the stories that he kept bringing me back to all the time, really strongly, is the story of Gideon. And you can read it for yourself in Judges 6 and 7, but I'm sure you kind of, if you've been around church a little bit, a little while, you will know the kind of outline of the story where God calls this guy Gideon to free the nation from some enemies that are kind of oppressing them. And so Gideon is a nervous character about this. He doesn't really want to do it, and he's a little bit kind of cautious. And then God gives him this kind of big army, like thousands and thousands of soldiers. And he's like, yeah, well, maybe I've got a bit of an army now. And God says, no, you've got way too many. You've got way too many. You need to cut these down. And so God chops down this army until he's only left with a few hundred people. And the point of the story is that God will not share his glory, really, with anyone else. That when God does something, we need to know that it's God that's done it. It wasn't us, it wasn't our huge army that achieved something, it was God that did it. And that's the thing that God keeps bringing you back to, is this, it's God's work, it's his work. And if he wants to move people off somewhere else, for whatever reason, then that's his job. But we are the ones he wants here to build this church, and he's done it for growth. That's the reason that he's chopped people away, is for growth. Okay? That's what God keeps telling me. That's what God keeps bringing me back to. And it's all the way through the scripture. You read it time and time again that God will do things for growth that seem hard, seem challenging, but it's for our good. It's for growth. Okay? So I just wanted to share that with you of where we've been over the last 6 months. You can challenge me on that if you want. You can come and talk to me about that. I would love it if you did. But that's what God keeps saying to me. That I'm telling you from my heart where it's been. You know, that it's been hard, it's been challenging, but the message I feel from God is that he's doing this for growth. Okay, I want you to hold on to that. So the second question we need to look at really is, where are we going? Now, leadership teams will often try and produce a kind of vision statement. It's quite handy sometimes to have a kind of pithy statement that says, this is who we are and this is what we do, sort of thing. And we've looked at it a number of times, and I've never really been satisfied with the kind of outcome of that process. And so, do you know what? When folk ask me, what is the vision for church? I just want to say, just read this thing. Just have a look at this, because this is the vision of this church. And it should be the vision of every church, because it's all in here. It's all in here. You just have to read it to know what God calls us to what he wants for us. We don't kind of need some fancy defining statement in some ways. We just need to read the Bible. But I know that what I want for this church, and what I want for every church really, is that we live in the reality of the kingdom of God. It's what Jesus was defining and planting and envisioning when he was on earth, was the kingdom of God. And so I want us, our church, and every church to be hearing God and responding to God in the way that Jesus did. I want us to be operating in the power of God, to see the captives free, to see the lame walk, to see the oppressed set free, the things that Jesus came to do that show that the kingdom of God is coming. That's what I want our church to be doing. I want us to see those things, not because we want to be a miracle-working church, but because they're evidence that the kingdom of God has come. And you know what? It's not impossible. I think it is costly, but it's not impossible. And it's not just for the nutters and for the super holy. It's for all of us. Because that's what happened in his Bible when he took 12 kind of hairy, probably teenagers, maybe just into their early 20s. And he said, come on guys, follow me. This is what we can do. And they did it. And if you read on into the sort of further into the New Testament, you'll see that the churches were then doing that as well. They weren't special people. They were just people that had grasped the coming of the kingdom of God and received it and lived it out. So that's what I want us to be. I want us to be that kind of church, like we read in there. Now, when I say that kind of church, you can read in some of the New Testament letters where the church got massively wrong. I don't want us to be the sort of church where people are sleeping with their mothers-in-law and that kind of thing, which is what we read about in the New Testament. But what it does tell us also is that their churches are made up of normal people who make mistakes, who get things wrong. But then there's hope for that too, that there's restoration for that. Are you laughing? Is Andy's not been sleeping with his mother-in-law, has he? No, okay. Good. That's a relief, Andy. Now, one of the hardest criticisms I've received, I think, while I've been... Any of you that think it's nice standing up here and that it's like the plum job, believe me, it is not. It is nicer to be sweeping up and setting the chairs out than it is to be standing up here. No one really criticises you too much if you haven't swept up too well, but believe you me, everyone criticises you no matter what you do when you're standing up here. One of the worst criticisms, or one of the things that I found hardest, is when I've been accused of being inauthentic. And that one really hurts because, you know, in many ways it's true. I want the kingdom of God to come, but I know I'm not the finished article and I certainly don't live it out in the way that we could be living it out. So I'm on a journey on that path. I want to keep going on it. And I want to journey on it with other people. I don't want to do it alone. In fact, I don't think I can do it alone. That's why we're a church. That's why we're a community, because we inspire each other. We encourage each other to pick up things, to carry on, to forgive each other, to carry on this walk, to finish the race. That's why we're a community. We need to do it together. So I really want to see the kingdom of God come more, but I can't do it on my own. I want to do it with you guys, because you're the people who God has put us with in this place. I want us to really seek his kingdom. So that is why this autumn we are going to be looking at this sort of stuff. The kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus told loads of stories, little parables about what the kingdom of heaven is like. You probably remember some of them, like kingdom of heaven is like this. A guy is a pearl merchant and he finds a beautiful pearl and he wants that pearl, so he sells everything he's got to get the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like this. We're going to be looking at that to try and help us understand a little bit deeper what the kingdom of heaven is like, what it means to live it out. There's some other things I quickly want to highlight on here for you. September the 22nd, do you remember when we had the family feedback Sunday? We were talking about getting together on a Sunday evening sometimes to really pray about what God wants us to do with that new site, the new building, and to make sure that we're on the right track with it. So the first one of those I'll be leading on the evening of September the 22nd. We'll do it at Warwin Road, 6:30. Come and join me. I've got some ideas of how I want us to pray through that and to seek our Father, who is a good Father and wants to give good things to us. Another thing, just want to highlight wherever it is. September 29th, the Gideons are coming to talk about their work, but there's no kids' work. Okay, so it's a fifth Sunday, so there's no kids' work on that day. And then we've got somewhere a regional service. Can anyone see it? Where is it? There, November 17th, regional service. So like we've gone to Stroud, we've gone to Gloucester, we're having here, they're coming to us, so we're going to have a big sort of service all together with the other churches in our region, and then we're going to have a shared meal over on the village hall, assuming that I managed to book it, which I haven't done yet. There we go. All right. So what else? Another thing. We want to maximise our financial resources in the church. And one thing that we've been looking at is kind of the split of things I do. So you know that I work 3 days a week for the church. One of the things that we've kind of realised over the last couple of years is that I spend a lot of time doing admin stuff. And that's not really kind of very cost effective or efficient in the way we do things. So what we thought as a leadership team is it makes more sense if I drop down to 2 days a week, and then we release the funds for that extra day a week to give to administration so that we use our administration more effectively, we get better value for money, and I'm not a great administrator, so it's better if we get someone who can do it a bit better than I can. So that's one of the things we're going to do. I'm going to drop down to just 2 days a week, and we're going to bump up the amount of administration we have, because that's really useful and helpful in the church. And that leads me on to what the leadership team felt would be a useful thing, would be just to do a quick who's who in the church. Sometimes we don't. There's so much that goes on, we don't always know who's even responsible for it. So, here's a quick who's who. Guess who? Right. Here we go. Safeguarding. Does anybody know who the lead safeguarder is in the church? This is a great start. Go on, Mary. No, it's not Sarah anymore. Hooray.
It's a trick question. Yeah, yeah. Go on.
It is Sarah at the moment. It's going to be me soon.
Yeah, the next month.
Yeah,
so
okay.
What I've just got to do is training, etc.
Okay, so there's a bit of a shift. It was Sarah, it's moving across to Roger, so we're going from a social worker to a barrister, so we'll see what kind of shift that...
I'm
going to
be the deputy, so it's going to be two.
Okay, two for the price of one. So safeguarding, it's an important thing in this day and age, we need to have it, and so if you've got any safeguarding concerns, you see Sarah or Roger. Now, this is supposed to represent the trustees. There's John Lloyd. He doesn't always wear high heels to trustee meetings, but sometimes he does. So trustees, who's trustees? Do you know who the trustees of church are? These are the guys that are responsible for the legal, undertaking of our church. Do we know who they are?
Frieda.
Yeah, Frieda's one. She's not here this morning.
John.
Yeah, well done. Anyone else? There's another one, he's here. Roger, do you want to wave your hand, Roger?
Yeah.
Roger Shaw, there he is at the back. And you know what, we need more trustees. It's good practice to have a minimum of 5 trustees, so we do need more people who'd be prepared to kind of undertake that. John leads it really well. In the past, it hasn't been 100% effective body, but John took it over and he leads it really well. It's good. It's an efficient group to be part of. So see us on that if you want to. Brew crew. Who's in charge of brew crew?
Monica.
There she is. Give us a wave, Mon. No, she doesn't want to give us a wave, but Monica does a great job of she's got a lovely heart, caring for folk, always making cups of tea and stuff. Monica does the brew crew. Here we've got this. I'd better check what the one was even supposed to represent. This is supposed to represent the bookings clerk. Hello, Cockatoo. What's that? Do you want to book the Henry Ellis suite? Yeah, who knows who the bookings clerk is?
Lynn.
It's Lynn. There she is. This is our updated AV system. She's just having a play with there. Aha! Who knows who that is? Yeah, he's my favourite person. I'm so glad Grand Designs is back on for a new series. But we have a team that are helping push the Silver Street development forward. It's really important that we have some ownership and some driving force behind that. Who's on the Silver Street team, do you know?
John.
John Lloyd, yeah.
Claire Dobson.
Claire Dobson, yeah.
Anthony Raisin. Tom.
Anthony Raisin. Tom, yeah, I'm on it for my sins.
It's
Colin
on it.
No. Gordon is on it, yeah. Liz Jones, yeah, planning, whatever she is, she's got something in the planning department, isn't she? What about this one? Kids work. Who's on the kids work team? Who leads it, first of all? Who leads the kids work? Jill. Yeah. Getting those rotors sorted, Jill. And lots of other folk are on it. I'm going to start whizzing through these because we're running out of time. No, this isn't youth. This is worship team. We've got Tim and Sean. This is the worship team. Sean and Caroline kind of run that. They do a great job. I'm going to start with Mr. Shawkins. Finance. But that's moving on to another lady who's who's going to be doing it. Lives in Worcester, really keen to do it, isn't she? And Andy's gradually handing that over, which is great. We might get a bit of cash out of him. Newsletter. Here we are. Who does the wonderful newsletter?
David Oliver.
David Oliver. Yeah. There he is. He's trying to give up the fags, but he hasn't managed to yet. Youth. Who does the youth? Tom Collins been involved.
Kerry.
Kerry, yeah. But hopefully soon, as Sarah was saying earlier, we'll have a new youth worker, or maybe two youth workers. Admin. Who's the church administrator? Yeah. Prayer. Who does the Monday prayer group? Who organises that? Well, Elizabeth does lots of praying, for sure. But I think Jill does the rota now, don't you, Jill? Yeah. Scrabble Club. Who organises that? Pardon?
Elizabeth.
Gordon and Elizabeth. Yeah. Home groups. Who's now in charge of overseeing home groups? Do we know?
Trick question, because it's just starting.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just me, it's David as well.
Mary and David, and you've got a meeting coming up on Thursday. Okay. See Mary about that. Cleaning. At the moment, it's a kind of vacant spot. So if any of you feel like you're doing cleaning, you do get paid for it, then yeah. Warwin Road cleaning, yeah. Leadership team. Hopefully you kind of got a vague idea of who's on that. Do you know? Sarah, myself, Roger and Catherine, John and Jill. Yeah, well done. What was this one? Playgroup. Who runs the playgroup, basically?
Catherine.
Yeah, does she need more help and more support? Yes, she does. The welcomers. Who's on the welcoming team? Who's in charge of that? I don't even know the answer to this one.
Lynn? No, I think it's just
Yeah, I thought we had a little thing about this the other day about picking up a. Anyway. Lynn always does it faithfully when she's here, but you're not in charge of it, are you, Lynn? Absolutely not. There is no official rota for being a welcomer. You just come in and you pick up a welcome thingy if you want to do it on that day, and you welcome people. You're all part of the same church, and hopefully you don't do that when it's not your week. Alright, what else have we got? Speakers! Who does speaking? I mean, lots of people do speaking, but really, I oversee that. So if you really feel like God might be calling you to speak, and I gather that Michelle did a really good job of wincing. She didn't even know that she was supposed to be doing the whole talk. She thought it was just a little 2-minute testimony slot. But come and see me. It's not an automatic you ask to speak and you will get a place sort of thing, because we've got to be really careful about the message that we give from the front. There's a little saying that I really find helpful, is that as a church you should be inclusive at the door and exclusive at the core, because it's a real responsibility to give what God has given you from the front, because it flavours the whole church. And so we've got to be really careful and measured in what we say from the platform. Bible studies. We've got a men's one and a ladies' one. Who leads the ladies' one?
Mary.
Who leads the men's one? Well done. Correct answers. Coffee morning. Who does that? Val. Yeah. She's kind of grimacing.
It's changing.
Yeah. I think you could do more support there as well. Val, eh? Top it over. Yep. Okay. Gardening. Who does that? Yutta used to be such a faithful gardener, didn't she? Always there, chugging around. Yesterday we had to do a massive cleanup because it kind of got out of hand a little bit. But if anyone wants to just do that from time to time, just take up some shears and prune things and pull a few weeds out, that would be great. Just it's our family, it's our building, it's our church. Let's just all take a little bit of responsibility. I mean, if you see a weed when you're walking up the path, just pull it up, get rid of it. straight away, there you go. Oh, I did have another one. Preparation of communion is on my list. Who does that? Who? Bow. Yeah. And then I had to put this one in because there's probably hundreds of bits I've forgotten about, you know, other things that all sorts of people do and are just cracking on with and don't say anything about. But they're all important and they help us work together as a family. So, rapidly run out of time, gone over time really. So as we end, and as we look ahead to where we're going, and as we recognise the past and the present efforts, and as we're seeking a church that represents our Lord and Saviour faithfully, that lives in the goodness of God's kingdom, I want to close with a verse from Philippians. And it's Philippians 3:13. It's a verse you probably know if you've been around church for a while. But I'm going to read it from the Message version, because it kind of sums up what I've been saying earlier. From the Message, Philippians 3:13 says this: I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I am on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. There we go. So that's it. Tim, do you want to come up and lead us in a final song, and we'll get the youngsters back in?
We're going to have this final song, and then afterwards, I just wanted to flag up one of the things that